In our previous year, we began a discussion of Tosfos' question in our sugya: why, if an animal that's exempt from Maisa Behema jumped in middle of other animals that are mechuyev in Maisa Behema, don't we say Bittel Beroif? And Tosfos gave us four possible answers to this question. And as we explained in the previous year, Tosfos explained why every one of those answers is not a good answer. But now we're left with the question. So why don't we say Bittel Beroif? So there are really, the way I see it, two in the Rishonim, two approaches. One is the approach of the Tosfos HaRosh. As the Gemara, he says, teaches us later on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, the Torah, when the Pasuk says Asiri, says the Gemara, we learn from the word Asiri, Asiri Vadai V'loi Asiri Sofik. What does that mean? So what that means is that even if there would be a din or bittel, that doesn't change that it has to be an asiri vadai. And the only way you could accomplish an asiri vadai is when you know that all the animals are certainly mechuyev in Maisa Behema. That bittel beroiv can't accomplish. The Torah, by saying Asiri Vadai, the Torah, by telling us you have to count the 10th animal, is going out of its way to tell us it has to be the Vadai 10th, and if it's not the Vadai 10th, you're not Mechuyiv, you can't use it for Maisa Behema. And actually, so this, in other words, what we're saying is that there's a special din that whenever we speak about a Dover Sheva Minyan, the halacha is it has to be a Minyan Vadai. And if it's not a Minyan Vadai, even if you'll have a situation of Bittel Beroiv, you can't rely on that. And actually, I saw that this issue is very relevant, that when we speak about a Minyan, it has to be a Minyan Vadai. I saw it's relevant to a different Shaila. Let's say during the Sfira, somebody finds himself in a place and he doesn't know what is tonight's count. He doesn't know, for example, is tonight the 12th night, day 12 or day 13 of the Sfira. And he has no one he could ask. So perhaps what he should do is make a bracha and say, Hayom shnei masayoyim, shem shvuach v'chamishi yomim loimer. Oy, hayom shloisha asayoyim, shem shvuach v'shishi yomim loimer. And then he'll be safe. And then the next night, when he knows what night the number is, he'll count properly. So actually, the Shal Tshuvas Dvar Avrom, Chelek Aleph, Simla Medalid, discusses that Shaila. And he says that, no, a Sfira, as the Rosh says in our Gemara, a Sfira that is not a definite number, a Minyan that's not a Vadai number, is not a Minyan. And actually, he uses this to answer a very famous question. We know that we in Chutz Laaretz keep 2 days Yontif. And the reason we keep 2 days Yontif is because Sveika de Yoyma. So the question is, why, by the Yoymer, don't we in Chutz Laaretz, every, just like on Yontif, we don't know which is the first day or the second day, we keep 2 days. So by Sfira, every night, we should count 2 days because of Sveika de Yoyma. Says the Dvar Avram, that even though everywhere in Halach and Chutz Laaretz, we work with the concept of Sveika de Yoyma, here we can't. he says, because here there's a din of minyan, there's a din of counting, and counting in a way that would represent a suffix lacks in the Maisa Sphira. And therefore, even though there's an issue of Sveik of the Yom, we only count one day at a time, even here at Chutz Laretz. There are Achroinim. The Sham Tzion Balacha quotes a Shail Satshuva Shaila Shalom that says that according to the Mor and according to the Ran, you can count this way. And according to them, that's what you should do when you have this suffix. They're going to have to give a different reason why we don't count every day like this in Chutz Laretz with Sveika the Yoima. Maybe the Achronim suggests the reason they won't accept such an approach is because you may have a hefsik between the bracha and the proper sphere. That means, again, going back to the example we began with, this individual isn't quite certain if tonight is night 12 or night 13, and he's going to say, Hayoim, make the bracha and say, Hayoim Shnei Masayoim, Shem Shavua Echad V'chamisha Yomim, or then he's going to say, Hayoim Shloisha Asayoim, and really is Shloisha Asayoim. So it turns out that there was a hefsik between the two spheres that he, between the bracha and the real sphera, which you're not supposed to make. Therefore, don't make a bracha. There are Ratzifais that Frank in the Mikroi Kodesh isn't satisfied with that. He holds that would not be considered a hefsik. Something that's said, because that's the way I want to properly fulfill the bracha, cannot be considered a hefsik. However, certainly according to the Dvar Avram, and certainly according to the opinions that it is a hefsik, the halacha is as follows. Because we're saying that this is not a proper minyan, or because it's a hefsik, the night that this person doesn't know which is the real count for tonight, he should say both numbers, both counts, not make a bracha. But what he will have at least accomplished is that he didn't miss a night of counting the sphera. And by not missing a night of counting the sphera, he accomplishes that tomorrow night, when he will know what is the proper count, it's not considered like he missed the night, and he'll be able to count further nights with a bracha. This is also the psak of the Michetz Yitzchak and Chelek Ches Simen Memches. But going back to our original question, the why over here, don't we just say Bittul Barayv? So we just quoted the answer of the Rosh. But there's another fundamental answer given by the Ritva, as explained by the Achroinim in great detail. The Achroinim suggest that what does Bittul Barayv do? They want to say that Bittul Barayv, that we find in Halacha, that when there's a suffix, there's two ways the Halacha tells us we could resolve a suffix. One way of resolving a suffix is with Roiv, and another way of resolving a suffix is with Eidus. Eidim tell us what is the status. So the Achrayim, in explaining this Ritva, want to suggest that these two ways of resolving a suffix are not the same. In other words, resolving a suffix through Eidus creates a fact. If Eidim tell us that this and this is what happened, Eidus is as good as us knowing for sure that is indeed what happened. And there's no more Shaila. What Roiv does, the Achroinim suggest, is the Roiv tells us what to do because we have a suffix. But Roiv doesn't change the reality. The reality is that we have a suffix. Dainik Yontif gives a great example of how to understand this. Dainik Yontif says, we know that the threads, the strings of the tzitzis, have to be made lishmo. So what would be the halacha if one of the strings was not made lishmo? And I don't know which string that is, but that string is batel in the other strings that were all made lishmo. Would we say bittel? So he says, you probably can't say bittel, because bittel cannot create something that wasn't. Bittel Baroiv cannot say that a string of tzitzis that was not made lishma is considered that it was made lishma. And the Achronim will go on to explain that this is a fundamental question: how to understand bittel. Does bittel have the ability of changing the metzias, or does bittel just tell us what to do in a question, in a case of a shaila? There are rayas not to this way, because if Roiv isn't as absolute as the Ritva wants it to be, we know that the halach of a mamzer is that the halach of a mamzer is that only a mamzer vaday is also lover b'kol, not a sofik mamzer. Now the question is, every mamzer, we can't be 100% sure he's a mamzer, because we're only assuming that he's a mamzer because we know that this man lived with his mother and he wasn't allowed to live with that mother. But maybe he wasn't this man, maybe it's a suffix. How do we know ever that a person who we think is someone's father is his father? Because we rely on Roiv. But here we're saying that we can't rely on that Roiv isn't considered definite. And a suffix mamzer is not a mamzer, so why isn't every mamzer a mamzer? Of course, the answer is that you can't compare this to every situation. There are two types of roivs. There's a roiv, the Issa Kamon, and there's a roiv, the Leisa Kamon. And there are different statuses of roivs. It could be sometimes a roiv has the ability of making considered definite. That's by Ruba de Issa Kamon, maybe not by Ruba de Leisa Kamon. However, I do have to conclude with one important word. And that is, if now we're saying, according to these Rishonim and Achronim, that Roiv doesn't create a Vadai, Roiv only tells us what to do when we have a Shaila. So, what would be the halacha if a drop of milk falls into a flay sugar pot and it's bottled b'shishim? So anyone who ever learned Yerideya will know that you're allowed to eat the meat. The milk was bottled. And we're relying on bittel b'roiv. But if we're saying that bittel b'roiv is not changing the metzias, it's only telling us what to do. So how could you eat that? How can you eat that? Maybe you shouldn't eat that meat, because bittel doesn't create an absolute. So chas v'shalom to say that. The Pesachei Tshuva in Yoyredeya Simen Kuftez Zayin Sifkot and Yud quotes the Silas Lamincha, who quotes the Taurus Oshin, Shemisha writes Lahachmer, Linig Isser, Bedovel Shlemitzina Shachmira Meroim, Kagai Mashna's Battle Beshishim. Somebody wants to be Machmer, where we don't find Chazal with Machmer. This example, where Chazal clearly told us that it's fine. Hareza Kamai Apikarsis. The Pesach Yeshuva says very strong words. That's an Apikarsis. V'yotzu schar b'efseidai. Arguing on Chazal is Apikarsis. And it's in the same category, Seid Achroinim, about Taisif. The B'nai Yisoschar takes this a step further. He explains it more on a chassidish way. He says, everything that we eat is because Hashem wants us to eat that. And everything we don't eat is because Hashem doesn't want us to eat that. So says the B'nai Yisoschar, when a drop of milk falls, usually Hashem, we know, doesn't want us to eat bas mechalef. Of course Hashem doesn't want us to eat bas mechalef. But the same Hashem, the same Torah that doesn't want us to eat bas mechalef, that very same Torah says that when it's only a drop of milk that fell into the pot of meat, you should eat. So it's something that the Torah wants us to eat. And if you don't eat what the Torah wants us to eat, then you're going against what the Torah wants. And therefore, not only may you eat it, but you should eat it.